Jesus promised it would be coming. When the disciples were anxious, Jesus promised. When the disciples were uncertain, Jesus promised. When the disciples were afraid, Jesus promised. Jesus promised they would not be alone. Jesus told them they would receive an advocate, a companion, a helper. This promise wasn't of something new, for what was promised to come, in a way, had always been. For what was promised had hovered over the waters of creation, over the very chaos of the deep. It had been present through each and every moment of humanity's history, though often it went unnamed. In a way, Jesus wasn't promising that something new would be coming. He was promising that they would finally know what had been in its own right, be able to name it, be able to find a greater awareness of what already was. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus speaks to them about it, he breathes it gently as a whisper into their midst. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit, he tells them. In the book of Acts, we hear another account of the Spirit arriving, and it is anything but a whisper. It is so loud and forceful that there are barely words to describe it. It's likened to a rushing wind and tongues of fire. In fact, half the town comes out to see what all the ruckus is about. I find it beautiful that in our scriptures we're offered multiple accounts and perspectives of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Because there is nothing, and I mean nothing, quite like the Holy Spirit. And so why could it ever be described in a single account? Why could it ever have one view of what it is when it is so many things in so many ways? And it's that Holy Spirit that we celebrate this day. For today is Pentecost, a day that marks the arrival of the Holy Spirit into the world. Now, both of these scriptures, the one in John and the one in Acts, both the whispering and the fire and wind, they're both Pentecost stories, because they are stories of how God's Spirit is present with us in the world. The Holy Spirit is how Christianity understands the divine to be present and active in the world. It's one of the three ways that God is expressed in our tradition. And of those ways, sometimes we say Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say Creator, Christ, and Spirit. But of those different three ways, the Holy Spirit is the most undefined, unlimited, and unbound experience in the Christian faith. Sometimes the Spirit is a whisper. Not much more than a gentle nudging. In fact, sometimes it's a presence that is almost unrecognizable in the moment that we only can recognize in hindsight and identify as we look back in our lives. And yet other times the Spirit is so blatantly pushy and obnoxiously demanding that it's impossible to ignore. The Spirit comes to us so boldly we can barely even recognize there's other options other than what has become so clear by the Spirit in that moment. The stories I have of the different times I have experienced the Holy Spirit in its very real and powerful ways, just as in its quiet ones, are almost too many to number. And sometimes I even hesitate to speak about them because they are almost unsettling. The kind of things where if you weren't there, I don't know if you'd believe it. The kind of things I'm not sure I even believe happened, even though I was there. I am so grateful that the Holy Spirit is at constant work, guiding and leading and shaping our lives and our life together. You see, the Holy Spirit works both in personal, but also communal ways. An important recognition of how interdependent those two things are, our personal lives and our communal lives. You see, community is shaped and formed by the individuals that make it up. And individuals that make up community are also shaped and formed by the community in which they are a part. That's why I'm always so grateful that we share time together. What the Spirit of God, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life affects this community when you're a part of it. I mean it very literally when you hear me say things like, everything is different because you're here. It is. And I'll tell you, what the Spirit of God is doing in the life of this community affects you when you're a part of it. So I mean it very literally when I say everything in your life will be different because you were here. The play back and forth of the personal and the communal is such an important part of how the Spirit ties us together. When we speak of being one, we are our individual selves. We are a communal self. And the Spirit is at play in all of it. For generations, God has used both of those avenues, the personal and the communal, to accomplish what God will and to accomplish God's will. There are times that individuals greatly need change in their lives, and community is how God, through the Spirit, accomplishes it. But there are also times communities need to be changed, and God does so through individuals. And this is one of the ways I see the Spirit leading today. For the longest time, since that first Pentecost, when the church was born, I believe the Holy Spirit has used the church to lead the world. When there were issues to be faced, changes to be made, stands to be taken, and justice to be cried out for, the church responded to God's call as the Spirit led. You know, this is actually one of the reasons I have such a deep appreciation for United Methodist history. Because ours is one that's full of these moments. It's very Spirit-filled moments where the Methodists, the Evangelical Association, the Church of the Brethren, mind you, these are all the different building blocks that eventually joined to become the United Methodist Church. You heard United in one of them. You heard, you heard Methodist in one of them. They all tie together. It's a beautiful history. So these different communities of faith, as they became one, joined together their histories in which we now see countless Spirit-filled moments where our church, and I mean that with a capital C, our church, in the biggest sense possible, opened the world around us to new possibilities. Those who came before us in what is now the United Methodist Church broke barriers for women, for children, for people of color, for immigrants, for the uneducated, for those who had been enslaved, for the sick, for the needy. The list goes on and on. It is a proud history in many ways. Ours is a history of the Holy Spirit leading the church, that the church might lead the world. Now, it wasn't always a quick and easy response to the Spirit's lead. And there are many times we had a few false starts. Many times we fought amongst ourselves about it the entire way. And even when we'd followed the Spirit's lead, it often takes generations for the changes to really sink in. Just ask women in leadership. Just ask churches that seek to be more integrated. Just because we follow the Spirit's lead doesn't mean we're done letting it shape and change us. But despite our human and institutional imperfections, I think our church has a history of following the Spirit's lead that the world might follow where the church goes. But what happens if the church won't let the Spirit lead? What if instead we as a denomination, as Methodists, let prejudice, fear, lack of knowledge, discomfort, desire for power, and political manipulation lead us instead? This question and its answer are not hypothetical. This question and its answer are a current reality for the United Methodist Church. Now, this is not a blanket accusation. I am so grateful for the many ways in which the church is letting the Spirit lead us into service around the world. I mean, in mission and outreach that are saving lives, not just trying to save souls. In education efforts that are growing new generations of leaders across the globe. In policy work that's bringing to light issues some would rather leave in the dark. The Spirit is leading the church in many important ways. But when it comes to issues of inclusivity, the United Methodist Church as a denomination is failing. to have a phrase like homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching appear in the book that states our beliefs is not just archaic and wrong. To use the words of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, it is repugnant to the Word of God. To ban our ministers from performing ceremonies and to ban our churches from hosting celebrations of love that's shared between two people of the same sex is more of the same. Archaic, wrong, and repugnant. And to let those two little legalistic, close-minded statements that, honest to God, if you count them up, are no more than 25 words in this entire book, to let them take precedence over the powerful and plentiful invitations that call us to ministry with all people, that call us to celebrate the sacred worth of every individual, that call us to embody the teachings of Jesus to the world, to let those 25 words negate the rest of this book of discipline or the all of this book, our scriptures. To let those few words negate that is to miss out on what the Spirit is doing and where the Spirit is leading us as God's people. And the Spirit is leading. Just as God has done so many times before, God is leading us forward. But in the Methodist Church, our system and structure have been stymied and stopped by prejudice, fear, lack of knowledge, discomfort, desire for power, and even political manipulation. But though our systems and our structure may fail, I find my hope in the fact that God's Spirit doesn't fail. This isn't the first time God's people have failed to follow the Spirit's lead. It's not the first time prophetic voices have been ignored. It is not the first time we have failed to be an obedient church. In fact, the prophet Isaiah was speaking to a similar kind of brokenness when he wrote these words. Seek the Lord when he can still be found. Call upon God while God is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful abandon their schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he might have mercy on them. Because he is generous with forgiveness. Thus saith the Lord, my plans are not your plans, nor are my ways your ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my plans than your plans. Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and don't return there without watering the earth, making it conceive and yield plants, and providing seed to the sower and food to the eater. So is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and accomplishes what I intend. I love that. Though these words were written some 800 years before that first Pentecost, they are Pentecost words all the same. Because they are a call for us to be Spirit-led people, and they are a call for us to be a Spirit-led church. When we fall short of that invitation, these words are also a promise and a word of hope. Hear God say this, so it is with all that comes from me. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and accomplishes what I intend. When we fail, when our systems and structures, our communities, and even our nation fail, God does not. The call to love all people, the call to be an inclusive church, the call to honor loving relationships, these calls will not return to God empty, for the one who has spoken them will accomplish what is intended. And if the church won't lead the world, then I guess God's going to find another way. That is why in so many places and in so many ways, especially related to inclusivity, I see the world leading the church. Now, I am certain there are those who would hear me utter these words that the world is leading the church and would be horrified and instantly write me off, immediately grabbing their Bibles to say, no, in the world, not of the world. No, we're supposed to... Hang with me for a second. See, there are those who see what is happening in the world, and they don't believe the church should acquiesce to these worldly and cultural changes, that the church should hold strong. I think those who would dismiss what is happening in the world by naming such changes we see as cultural are missing what's really going on. Instead, it is my prayer that others might see what is taking place in the world as something that is spiritual. You see, inclusivity is not some random worldly trend. Inclusivity is the heart and the will of God expressed from the beginning of time. And I believe there is a difference between the church accommodating society's whims and the church recognizing a shifting global consciousness. A consciousness of conscience. That global consciousness of conscience is how I see the world through the Holy Spirit leading the church. It is happening. And it is happening at a pace that no one could ever have imagined. Now, in some ways, it can never happen fast enough. At the same time, it is certainly happening faster than many would have ever imagined possible. Political landscapes and public opinion, court cases and conventional wisdom, all of these things are rapidly shifting. The long moral arc of the universe is bending towards justice on a steeper curve than many ever believed possible. And when I see these things happening, I recognize God's Holy Spirit at work in the world. There may not be rushing winds and tongues of fire, but the Holy Spirit is at work in the world around us. The church does not get to claim exclusivity on where God's Spirit leads and who God's Spirit leads. In our lifetime, we are witnessing another season of Pentecost as God's Holy Spirit is bringing about change in the world once again. And we are invited to do more than witness this movement of the Spirit. We're invited to be participants with it. We are invited to boldly and proudly proclaim God's love. We're invited to claim our place in this very denomination because the United Methodist Church needs us. Oh, do they need us? That same Spirit that was present at creation is seeking to recreate the world more and more in God's loving image. The Spirit is leading. You see, just as the Spirit works in the church, God's Holy Spirit is working on the church. Because the Spirit will not be silenced. The Spirit will not be ignored. And the Spirit will not fail. What the Spirit will do is lead. And I am proud to follow it. Amen. Well, I appreciate you and give me a little space today to share a little frustration. I sat back down to John and was like, did that come off a little too angry? But I tell you, as one who has been elected by our leadership in our area and other places to go and do work at the highest levels of the church, I need you to know this breaks my heart. And I also need you to know that I have great hope even in the midst of that brokenness, because I believe in a God whose will is accomplished. May the Spirit lead as we do so together. Amen.